The Common Life for Chester Common by W. H. Auden. A living room. The Catholic area you, thou, rather, and I may enter without knocking, leave without a bow, confronts each visitor with a style, a secular faith. He compares its dogmas with his and decides whether he would like to see more of us. Spotless rooms where nothing's left lying about chill me. So do cups used for ashtrays or smeared with lipstick. The homes I warm to, though seldom wealthy, always convey a feeling of bills being promptly settled with checks that don't bounce. There's no we at an instant, only thou and I, two regions of Protestant being which nowhere overlap. A room is too small, therefore, if its occupants cannot forget at will that they are not alone. Too big, if it gives them any excuse in a quarrel for raising their voices. What, quizzing ours, would Sherlock Holmes infer? Plainly, ours is a sitting culture in a generation which prefers comfort, or is forced to prefer it, to command, would rather incline its buttocks on a well-upholstered chair than the burly back of a slave. A quick glance at book titles would tell him that we belong to the clerisy and spend much on our food. But could he read what our prayers and jokes are about? What creatures frighten us most, or what names head our roll call of persons we would least like to go to bed with? What draws singular lives together in the first place? Loneliness, lust, ambition, or mere convenience is obvious why they drop or murder one another, clear enough. How they create, though, a common world between them, like Bombelli's impossible yet useful numbers, no one has yet explained. Still, they do manage to forgive impossible behavior, to endure by some miracle conversational tics and larval habits without wincing. Were you to die, I should miss yours. It's a wonder that neither has been butchered by accident, or, as lots have, silently vanished into history's criminal noise, unmourned for. But that, after 24 years, we should sit here in Austria as cater cousins under the glassy look of a Naples bambino, the portrayed regards of Strauss and Stravinsky doing British crossword puzzles, is very odd indeed. I'm glad the builder gave our common room small windows through which no observed outsider can observe us. Every home should be a fortress, equipped with all the very latest engines for keeping nature at bay. Versed in all ancient magic, the arts of quelling the Dark Lord and his hungry, omnivorous chimeras. Any brute can buy a machine in a shop, but the sacred spells are secret to the kind, and if power is what we wish, they won't work. The ogre will come in any case, so Joyce has warned us. Howbeit fasting or feasting, we both know this. Without the spirit, we die. But life without the letter is in the worst of taste. And always, though truth and love can never really differ, when they seem to, the subaltern should be truth. My inspiration for the scarf emerged out of a brainstorming session on crocheted objects I believed would fit into Auden and Common's home. Crocheting a scarf invokes imagery of a quiet home, a serene room warmed by fireplace and by the love running through the halls. Gifting a craft object is giving a piece of yourself over to the receiver through the time and effort that went into its weaving and knotting. This act of crocheting felt parallel to the attention behind W.H. Auden's piece, The Common Life, because the poem was a gift to Common to encapsulate their life inside the home together. The scarf lies close to the mouth and around the neck, hiding and concealing words and secrets of the wearer. As a piece of apparel, however, the scarf is showing the outside world a glimpse of the wearer's personality. I wanted the scarf to be a different medium for the concept of concealing the precious and personal moments shared within the home, while still exhibiting the facet of the self through stylistic choices. Then, through the scarf-making process, I glean more about the type of homely acts that bring you closer to the people around you, and the type of comfort that would spur the writing of a poem or the making of a scarf to demonstrate the gratitude to this person. I have had trouble finding the responses on the publication and reception of Auden's The Common Life at the time of its release in 1963. However, much of the information on Auden and Common as partners are contradictory and converging. Many outlets present the two men as only working partners and colleagues, while others reveal the romantic nature of their relationship alongside their collaboration as artists. Despite the truth of the realities of the two men, The Common Life depicts a closeness and a familiarity for one another that holds love and affection unbeknownst to the outside world. For the couple, the home they share would be where they are able to express themselves freely without inputs and threats from bigoted outsiders. The home is a place of refuge and of comfort for its residents. The house holds the power to keep outsiders away and allows the free expression of the self within its walls. While the poem calls upon the reader's own inclination to their house, the home that Auden and Colin relied upon was necessary for the well-being of their relationship. During the crafting process for the scarf, I spent a lot of time thinking about the poem as an art form that is meant to be read, shared, and seen. Yet Auden manages to reveal his true feelings for Colman without divulging the true nature of their relationship, or any true experiences had within the walls. For example, in the paper module, I created a line cut based on the line, "Every home should be a fortress, equipped with all the very latest engines for keeping nature at bay," which refers to using windows and glass as a physical barrier from the cold and judgmental outside world. A scarf, however, is a handmade object that is a portable tool to stay protected from the elements. The scarf becomes a portable memento of the safety that the home brings to the men. Making a scarf bridges this idea of wealth in my own consideration of what luxury is, as luxury has never been about having the most expensive possessions, but where the possessions I do keep hold an importance based on their origins. Crocheting a scarf, or receiving a made item, even if not the most expensive yarn or perfect stitches, imbues a level of value into the object that is unmatched by fame or status.